Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's Cool Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are ready for Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. All right, Dr. Ahmed, are you with me now?
I'm with you. I got stranded in Oshodi. The traffic was so heavy, and I had to meander around the traffic. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I was saying that, earlier we had some network issues. The service was really bad. Let's pray for some luck today on Doctor's Round.
Okay. Thank you very much. Without further ado, let's start. Welcome to Doctor's Round. As usual, this is a program brought to you by Spirit of Nigerian Radio in collaboration with Transforming, Uplifting, and Reforming Nigeria, Turn Nigeria, an organization of Nigerians in the diaspora that is interested in uplifting Nigeria from all aspects. Good day to you all. My name is A.G. Ahmed, your host. Doctor's Round, as usual, will bring you evidence-based information, up-to-date health information to help you make choices about the most important thing in your life, your health. And today we're going to be talking about cancer care. We're going to be looking at cancer care from all its perspective, and we'll have as our guest today, Dr. Adedayo Unitilo. He taught me how to pronounce this name a few seconds ago. And I told him that he should look at my first name first. I'm Adekunle. So I should be able to say Unitilo as a proper Ijebu man. Dr. Onitilo is a practicing hematologist and oncologist at Marshfield Clinic in Wisconsin, USA. He's a certified hematologist, a graduate of Ogun State University, with postgraduate degrees in science, clinical research, PhD in epidemiology, and he got this from the two hemispheres. I'm going to be asking him about that. He's an adjunct professor of medicine at the University of Wisconsin and public health, a prominent member of the administration, a researcher. You know what? This guy has won so many awards that if I start laying his awards from Ijebubo to Ijebude, it will cover the whole street. Yes, believe me, he's a pillar in this community, and this guy is sought out by many news agency in his community, radio event, television, to talk about cancer. This guy is a pride of my country. He has made Nigeria, he's one of those Nigerians that really makes Nigeria what it is here. Not forgetting his roots, Dr. Onitilo maintains close ties with Nigeria. Hey, Dayo, welcome to Doctor's Round.
Thank you.
Good. So today we're going to be talking about a number of things. We're going to be talking about cancer care. We don't have much time, all right? I was delayed in Oshodi, as I said. But tell me, what motivated you to start collecting degrees from all over the world? You could have collected artwork. What's going on here, dude?
Well, I believe it's fortuitous rather than by design. I set out to be a medical doctor in Nigeria, influenced largely by some of the professors that came back to teach us, like Professor Famuyiwa, who was an endocrinologist in the United States. And then while I was still a medical student, I traveled to the United States at some point to present a paper at Johns Hopkins. So I've always had that in me that I want to do postgraduate training outside the country or within the country. And then when I finished, I went to the West Indies, from where I met another doctor who traveled around the world, from South Africa to Malaysia, Australia, UK, And when I was doing my fellowship, when I moved to the United States and was doing my fellowship, I decided to get master's in clinical research because I believe you need formal training in research to be a good researcher. And when I am practicing in Wisconsin, I rekindled with my mentor that I met in the West Indies, who was then in Australia. And that was why I decided to do my PhD in epidemiology in collaboration with him. So it's not as if I designed moving from one pool to the other. Most of it accidental rather than by design.
I think a friend of mine would say, this is providence. This is what it is meant to be. And you've done very well. Well, thank you. You've contributed a lot. So let me ask you, I'm going to present a case to you, Dr. Nitilo. Here's the case. He's a 54-year-old retired civil servant with prostate cancer, recently diagnosed in a Nigerian hospital. He was unhappy with the quality of care at home and decided to go to India without seeking a second opinion in Nigeria first. The findings and recommendations were essentially the same in India. And he finally, after 6 months delay from the initial diagnosis in Nigeria, he finally started treatment. This is a typical case that we've had. I don't know, in my field, I've had lots of this. Nigeria is losing more than $1 billion annually to medical tourism. Yet, Nigerian hospitals all over the world are filled with Nigerian professionals, specialists like yourself. Doc, what's your comment?
Well, there, in that very short presentation you gave, there is a lot to unpack there. But I'll touch the main issues because these are issues that we all grapple with as professionals practicing in diaspora on practically daily or weekly basis. So the first thing there is, this is a 56-year-old person who has served the country, now diagnosed with a malignancy, prostate cancer, but then decided to seek opinion outside the country. So that immediately tells you that there is a huge lack of trust in our health system. Either that is right or not, we can go into that. That's going to be a long discussion again. But then the individual decided to go to India. Now, India is also what we will call middle-income country like Nigeria, but they're probably more advanced than us in many areas, including healthcare. And this individual got a second opinion, which was similar to what they got in Nigeria, though you didn't tell us whether they received treatment in India or Nigeria.
They did in Nigeria, actually. They came back to Nigeria. Yeah.
So, what I have noticed also is that when people seek second opinion outside of Nigeria, which I think sometimes is the right thing to do. I believe second opinion, wherever you can get it, is a good thing. But doctors should work in collaboration. So when you are getting second opinion somewhere, most doctors are transparent and our doctors need to be. They can talk to each other and put in the individual afflicted by the malignancy in the center or the driver's seat, and then the doctors talk around and with the person. But what I've also noticed is that when people get second opinion abroad, most times they are not even able to get to the who is who in medicine abroad.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you have physicians that are not, at the top of their career or practice in Nigeria, you have them in India, you have them in United States. So what I always try to do is steer people towards the right people in Nigeria. And a good doctor knows a good doctor. So that person is able to now find you the resources you need, either within Nigeria or outside Nigeria if that person have the means. But not every cancer, for example, needed to be treated abroad. I'll give you two very typical examples.
I'd like you to hold on that, because I know you're going to be talking about various models of care. But okay, tell me quickly, why is it that cancer present late in Nigeria, and what can be done about that?
The biggest reason is that we don't have a national or a unified screening program.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to treat cancer is to diagnose it at the earlier stage,
mm-hmm,
or at precancerous stage, which is usually what screening will pick up. So by the time somebody starts having symptoms of cancer, most times it is advanced. And it's said that 3 out of 4 cancer patients diagnosed in Nigeria are at late stage, usually stage 4. Yeah.
So that's pretty advanced, isn't it?
Yeah, most times it's pretty advanced for most cancer. And to be honest, those are usually not the type of cancer sometimes you want to travel all over the world, because many times it's so advanced that the outcome is largely similar, irrespective of where you get treatment.
Right, right. You're still listening to Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio, and our guest today is Dr. Onitiloy, is talking about cancer care. Should you miss this broadcast live, it's been recorded, and we shall be podcasting this. Go to Spirit of Nigerian Radio, and you can listen to this and even download it if you want. Now, what then can be done to improve oncology care in Nigeria?
This is a question that requires a multiple approach to. So you talk in terms of the patients, what can be done, and the society, the providers, and then institution, and then government. So if we start from the patients, with anything in medicine, personal care is important. Screening, good living, and making sure that you don't stay too far away from the doctor is very important. In terms of the society, we need to start putting emphasis on healthcare and having the right attitude to our health and trust in the system that we have. Now, when you talk about the providers, what can we do? Number one, training. The medical training in Nigeria, which many of us, you know, went through, is very rigorous and I would say quite good. But once we start getting to postgraduate training, then there is a breakdown. It's not well funded. There are so many things that we are not having at that level. So postgraduate oncology training needed to be revamped, mm-hmm, like many countries in the world have done. Especially middle-income countries and developing countries, right, even in the Western world, they continually revamp and modernize and standardize postgraduate training.
Mm.
Postgraduate training in most of these countries in the Western world are under independent bodies like the ACGME, which is completely independent of government. But when you have postgraduate training under, for example, ministries, now one size doesn't fit all.
Mm.
We have to figure out what system is best for Nigeria. But I think we need to look into our postgraduate training, because if you know Nigerians and Nigerian doctors, they are very intelligent, resourceful, and you can tell when many of us travel outside of the country, we thrive. Many are driving back home too, but I personally think that we need to look into our postgraduate training. When you look at the institutions itself, most countries are spending 10% and above GDP on healthcare. In our country, it's a fragment of that. So we are not really spending a lot of money on our institutions and our training. And these are areas that we need to really look into. If we are thinking about having top-notch international standard of care with regards to cancer, then we need to have more investment in this. Then, you know, funding healthcare is another area that we need to look into overall. And I think that we can leapfrog this with, you know, the way the world interacts these days. I'm not seeing this as an insurmountable challenge for the country.
Right. So there are a number of things that we got to do in Nigeria on individual level, group level, society level, and really the government as a whole, the government has to step up with regards to funding, but funding alone will not do it. I know that you've got a lot to talk about this. I will probably bring you back. But let me ask you, there's this concept of brain drain and medical tourism for cancer care. What's your comment? I mean, you've been in this field. What can you comment on brain drain and brain drain and cancer care?
Yeah, the aspect of brain drain in Nigeria. You remember in like the 80s, the advertisement Andrew checking out of the country. So some people call it the Andrew syndrome. Where people leave the country for economic reason, for postgraduate training. That's really why people are leaving. To train a physician, for example, let's use America as an example, to the level of a specialist, you're probably spending over $200,000. So Nigeria is training physicians, and many of us because most of us went to school without paying the type of money that you know, you spend in colleges abroad.
You there.
And we are giving that away. Think about it. Harvard graduates all relocating to Nigeria. That's pretty much what, you know, not necessarily. That's pretty much what we are doing, what brain drain is doing. And if we can reverse that, it really will help us, what I term brain gain. People like me, my children, thinking that going back to Nigeria, we can contribute to the healthcare and the economy. That can reverse some of the brain drain and the resources that we've actually moved from our continent to the Western world and other parts of the world. In terms of medical tourism, we alluded to it a little in the beginning of our discussion, but it's a travesty and it's an unfortunate thing that healthcare most times is a local phenomenon. What I mean is that the best care is usually around where you have your family, the environment you are used to, the type of food you like, the weather. Now, when you travel outside of your environment to get healthcare somewhere else, especially cancer care that is a continuum rather than an episodic care, that fragmented care is actually not the best care in most cases.
You bet.
If someone, for example, is getting chemotherapy or stuff like that, once you leave the doctor's office, you have to go back home to your loved ones to start taking care of you. that is relegated to going back to hotels and having not having your loved ones around you. And sadly, sometimes people die seeking medical health, especially cancer care for advanced cancer in foreign lands, and now have to be brought home to be buried. So while I think that medical tourism and getting healthcare wherever you can get it is an important thing, it's unfortunate that sometimes it may not be the best for everybody.
Right, right. Well, I'd like to welcome our listeners again to Doctor's Run. We've been having technical problems today, but if you're joining us and you're hearing what we're saying, we're talking about cancer care. With particular focus on Nigeria. And with us today is Dr. Onitilo, an oncologist and a hematology with special experience. So Dr. Onitilo, I'd like to ask you about this, just more on this cancer, medical tourism. How often is care for visiting patient, how do you compare the sort of care citizens of Nigeria go abroad to get treatment? How is the treatment they compare, the treatment they receive compared to citizens of the tourist country? Is it the same?
Not all the time. Sometimes it is, but not all the time. So healthcare is very expensive, especially cancer care.
Hmm.
So there are certain, for example, in cancer, we talk about immunotherapy and some biological agents. These are new cancer treatment that sometimes you can have access to them only through clinical trial or some compassionate based uses that you will need to be a citizen of that country to be able to access those type of treatment.
Hmm.
Also, what I have noticed also is that sometimes if you are not a permanent resident or a citizen in a country, you would not have access to certain cadre or physicians if you go and seek healthcare there, unless you have somebody in the system, maybe a physician who is able to get you in to see their colleagues. But even then, there are some limitations because it's expensive. And when you start converting that into Forex, you're spending millions and millions of Naira. And when someone who, is spending now the foreign currency rather than Nigeria, they may decide that, is there a way you can remove this type of treatment and give me what is basic?
Yeah.
Just for me to survive. And they will say that's probably better than what I will have obtained in my own environment back home, rightly so or not. So definitely no. So the other thing is that,
just to interrupt you, you're saying that if you were to go as a tourist to a country, you may not get an equivalent level of care, not because of discrimination, but because of logistical setup.
Absolutely.
But I wonder if you could explain this. Why would I be excluded from a clinical trial if I were a tourist? Because that's science. So why should I be excluded? I should be considered as a subpopulation of that sample. What do you think?
So clinical trial, most of the time. So let me use the United States, for example. So if you come here and you come for what I will call episodic care because you are not living here.
Yep.
Clinical trial is like a cookbook recipe that you have to follow it exactly the way it's laid down. If the person is not able to come to clinic as frequently as the clinical trial, stipulates, you'll be creating deviation in that clinical trial, which the principal investigator can be penalized for. Number two, most people that get into clinical trial, you have to either have insurance, or if you don't have insurance, there has to be a way to pay. So there is no, you know, cutting the corner when it comes to clinical trial. If the clinical trial says you need to have a PET scan and MRI and bone scan at the same time, then you should or have, you know, you need to do that. But if you are just getting a regular routine clinical practice, you may not need all those. Then, you know, in terms of the frequency of follow-ups, you have to show up week 10, week 15, week 20, however the clinical trial is written. But if you are coming from abroad and you have to go back home, you probably, so there are many reasons, logistic reasons, like you said, that will preclude someone being enrolled in a clinical trial.
So essentially what you're saying is that you may be getting the best of existing treatment, but really, if you're looking at innovation and what is cutting edge that is still on the trial, you may be excluded as a Nigerian traveling abroad to get that treatment. Okay.
Yep.
But we need to start doing something about that when we talk about Nigerian treatment of our folks back home. So this leads me to a question here that has been burning. I've been thinking about this for a long time. What are the challenges to cancer care in Nigeria? And by extension, globally, you guys, I don't know, we're making, as a psychiatrist, we're making some progress than you guys. What are the challenges? Why can't you move this thing forward? Seriously, man.
Actually, there has been a lot of progress, okay, even in Nigeria. There are stumbling blocks, like you said, and there are obstacles, but that is life. And we are making progress. You probably heard of cancer in the last 2-3 years now. We have private and government institutions in Nigeria now having linear accelerators. The oncologists back home are now collaborating more with oncologists in diaspora, and it's just only going to get better. But the obstacles are same that those that we spoke about before. Things like confidence in the system, the funding, the perception of cancer itself is still a big taboo. It's not a dinner table discussion, you know. So people still don't talk about this and don't get help in time. And that's one of the reasons that they present early, not even because the healthcare system is not there. People tend to keep things to themselves and not really seek medical help in time. Even if you are able to overcome the stigma and the barrier that is based on the personal and societal perception about healthcare, then the funding. Now, I've said something about funding before, and I think you said government. But nowhere in the world, maybe in some more social medicine economy and countries, but most countries, healthcare is not paid for only by the government.
Yep.
The private sector, the philanthropy sector, the high net worth individuals, they contribute a lot to healthcare. We are not tapping into that yet in Nigeria. We are mostly looking at government, but government cannot do everything for us. It's like, I think JFK said that, you know, think about not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We need to start having that type of mentality whereby we start thinking about setting up a healthcare system, people in diaspora going back home, people back home setting this up. You remember, you know, the education, when the missionaries came to Africa before, they brought, you know, they did not cater just to the spirit. They catered to the soul and to the body. So they brought church, they brought hospitals, and they brought schools. The same mentality. Now, we shouldn't just wait on the government. You know, churches, we have huge mega churches that have millions and billions of dollars that make annually. We need to start calling on them to bring state-of-the-art healthcare system, cancer centers, cardiac center, nephrology center, and all kind of things to the country. So we cannot just rely on government. This is something that we all have to do together.
Well, what about the affordability though? I mean, this is something that we can talk about, you and I, but if you're looking at affordability, you need a framework. Where I remember hosting an ex-governor from one of the southwestern state, and he came, and we were talking about the difficulties in going back home. This was a couple of years ago. And he was talking about the infrastructure, and we named it, and he said, that's cost of business, build it in. When you build it in, my grandmother will not afford it. My uncle cannot afford it. It's just exorbitant. And this is where the government thing come in, right? So I understand that having other people participate, you and I and other people in the country participate, is a good ground to start, but you need that framework. Don't you think so?
Well, affordability is only if you are looking at it in, let's say, United States or Canada, money and translating it back to Nigeria. Healthcare can be affordable in Nigeria, can be accessible because you cut out the middlemen most of the time. And even when you have the middlemen, it's not going to be the same currency. Mm-hmm. So it's the same, by the same token, we can start by saying, how is internet and telecommunication affordable in Nigeria? Practically every Nigerian has a phone and they are paying or they are, you know, calling abroad and they are doing everything else that we are doing here. They are surfing all the time. Look at the banking sector. That has been revolutionized also. So basically, I think, you know, we can still have the healthcare system that works for Nigeria that is going to be accessible and also affordable. And, you know, medical tourism can also be something that if we invest in, we could reverse the tide of people coming abroad for healthcare, but people going back home to get healthcare.
You bet.
There are certain things now that if you need, you go back to Nigeria to get. Mm-hmm. We both know that. So yeah. The same way, I think we can have a healthcare system that is still affordable for our people now. It may have to be subsidized in the beginning. And that is where I said, nobody, even here in the States, those people that can afford something, they pay for those that cannot afford it. The same thing is going to happen in Nigeria. Those that can afford the healthcare will pay for those that cannot afford it through endowment, through their act of altruism, and history will be kind on those people. So government will subsidize it. The rich ones amongst us in the community will subsidize it.
I think this is very good. You see, you're turning the spin. You're changing it around. Because you're right, because this has happened now. Telecommunication, arts, we're going back to Nigeria. I know so many Nigerians now that want to do weddings. They go back to Nigeria to get artists to come here or even go and do it in Nigeria. You're right, we can change the tide. And once we've got started, it becomes cheaper. Now, tell me, on something more specific about adult cancer screening, what recommendation will you have for that? What would be your recommendation for to set up some guidelines for Nigeria?
So first, you have to think about the prevalent cancer in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And there are screening. There are ways that you can diagnose this cancer even at the precancerous state. So basically it's the same one that you have worldwide with some slants. So for women, you're talking about breast cancer and cervical cancer and then colon cancer. For men, you are talking about prostate cancer, colon cancer. So basically, you can start at the age of 40 or 50. You know, I'm not going to put the recommendation that we have here and stamp it on Nigeria, but we can borrow it. So for the woman, you probably want to have a national mammogram screening program for the entire country. And, you know, that is affordable. I have, and when you're talking about philanthropy now, this is where people can put their money to help screen the young women in the country. Now, when you talk about cervical cancer, which most of the time present late, that is something that can actually be diagnosed very early by simple examination, annual pap smear, and now you also have other, you know, ways of doing cervical cancer screening that you can do. Again, those are cheap and can save a lot of lives without having the big highfalutin equipment of modern hospital. That's why you have to think about the days of primary health care back home with Olukoye Ransom Kuti. If yes. We have that type of system whereby you can meet people right, you know, you're talking about Nigeria, church. Use the church. Let the church start doing mammographic screening for women and pap smear screening for women. And for the men, you're talking about prostate screening and colon cancer screening, also colon for women. They can have this. And when I say church, I don't mean church only. I also mean the mosque or places where people worship, or marketplaces where people congregate. You can have a healthcare screening program that you will tailor for the Nigeria population. And that way you save a lot of people, you save a lot of life.
Are you saying there are no guidelines now? Because there's a difference between having guidelines and actually implementing the guidelines.
Exactly.
I like on this one of these episodes, we had an individual, a guest that came in and was talking about rights of patients and so on. Are there guidelines? Because that's a different question from are we implementing it?
Yes. Because like you said, there is guidelines everywhere. And I bet there is guidelines in Nigeria.
Okay.
You know, when you talk about Nigeria, we have everything in the books, even, you know, better than many other places, but it needed to be implemented. Mm-hmm. And that implementation, you need to have it in the fabric of the society, right, from the government, federal government, state government, and local government. And then you now start talking about where people congregate, like I said before. And that needs some planning, needs some infrastructure, and needs some financing. Right, and that is actually where you need everybody to come together to make sure that we do this. Public education is very important.
And this is part of what you're doing on this program, educating people to take their health into their hand and to start asking the right question. That's what the spirit of Nigeria Radio hopes to impact through Doctors Round. The number to call for our listeners in Nigeria is +234 705 320 1010. And if you're from all over the world, you can call the same number +234 705 320 1010. That's the number to call, and we'll be taking your call on Doctors Round. Dr. Onitsilo, this discussion will not conclude without you making some comment on the difference between curative and palliative therapy. I know that, what do these mean? And what is the realistic expectation? I know cancer is a broad topic, and I'll bring you back.
Thanks for asking that very important question. And as an oncologist, anytime I see anybody that has cancer, the first question I ask myself is, what is the goal of care? Is it to cure? Is it to control? Is it to palliate? And many times you can cure cancer the earlier, you know, it's diagnosed. So the earlier stage cancer treatment towards cure. The more advanced a cancer, you know, is diagnosed, you know, you start having lower chances of cure. In that case, you need to reduce suffering. And that is what palliation is about. And since we said about 75 to 80% of cancer that we are diagnosing back home right now is at very advanced stage, we need to actually pay attention to palliative care, how we reduce suffering and help people die with dignity, and also to control their cancer for as long as we can, if we cannot cure it. The big difference here is that if someone cancer based on our knowledge of medicine can only be palliated and not cured, the more reason you don't want to be traveling to Western world and other countries and exhausting the finances of the family and their, you know, resources on that. But doing the basic thing, spending time with the individuals, help controlling pain and symptoms as much as you can. Now, you know that's not something that's going to fly in our culture. So we need to start educating ourselves about palliative care, because we are human. We want our loved ones to be around with us for as long as possible, if possible forever. But it's the sad truth about cancer that is being diagnosed at a late stage that not much modern medicine can do for. We need to concentrate on palliative care, or what we call symptom management.
Right. So in addition to screening early, curing what we can cure, because we diagnose so late, we need to start thinking about developing centers that can provide that help closer to home than go abroad, either bring back individuals who are now riddled with more cancer or who actually die and we now transport the corpse home. I have a comment here by one of our listeners from England, and he says, a national screening program for any of these cancers needs to be effected centrally to be effective. Philanthropy can donate, but can't turn the service, as this will not allow equality in healthcare. This is by a professor of gynecology, Professor Jayasimi from London. What do you say to that? That philanthropy alone, because if lay emphasis on philanthropy and individual contribution, it can't turn it around and it will not make it equal. Do you have any comment on that?
I agree with the professor completely that, and you remember I said something about primary healthcare that was promulgated by that time by the late Professor Lukoye Ransom-Kuti. So you need to have the framework, and the framework has to be within the federal government, passed down to state government, and then, you know, you have the local government. But government alone cannot do it, is what I am saying. So when you now get to the individual community, people in that community can help provide different type of support to actualize and to implement some of what you have in the national framework. So I agree with Professor Jayasimi.
There's another question again from one of our listeners from Saskatchewan. And they indicated that what can Nigerians in diaspora do to assist in achieving your dream of early screening and treatment of cancer patients? That's a loaded question. What can they do?
Well, you know, those in diasporans, they are doing a lot already. Like you and me, we have a burning desire to do stuff back home. And I know individuals that go home to screen. I have a friend that I have a program that screened about 10,000 women.
Wow.
Yeah, he's doing a lot. Dr. Olatunji, we call him Bobby. So there are people in diaspora that go, you know, to help with screening, with education, to do lectures. And there are even, you know, second generations Nigerian, you know, in diaspora that are going back home to help with lecturing and doing things. There are others that are giants in this area. You're talking about people like, I'm always very careful in naming people because you will leave out some people and they will feel like, you know, they've done a lot.
Okay.
But, you know, you cannot leave out people like maybe Professor Funmi Olopade, who has been going to Nigeria for years, trying to do, you know, doing stuff in the area of breast cancer. And there are so many. So Nigerians in diaspora, especially oncologists, are going back home. Practically every oncologist that I know, that I've spoken to, I can see the passion to try to help and do stuff with people back home.
And I agree with you with regards to what you're saying in terms of individuals going home. But you see, there are other ways even Nigerians in the diaspora can help. You talk about philanthropy. It doesn't have to be individuals. It doesn't have to be the big guns in Nigeria. Associations here can do it. You can donate part of your annual fundraising. You can donate it and ensure the certain screening is done. I know of an association that was focused on tuberculosis. That was what they said they were interested in. So in cancer, you can take on a course and that could be part of your donation. You can skip a party and all those Ashwebi things that you do annually and donate that money. That is the call for Nigerians in the diaspora. What do you say to that?
I would join the cry. You've said it in a very beautiful way, that we all need to continue to preach this, to help back home. One thing I have noticed, however, is that sometimes individual contributions, no matter how large it is not sustainable.
You bet.
So even if we are going to do this, we need to have a collaborated and a coordinated efforts in a way to do it. So I like the idea of our organizations. They make it, you know, part of what they want to do. We screen 1,000 women every year. 10,000 women every year. We collaborate with University of, you know, certain university.
Or church.
And do this, or church, you know. You have huge, you know, church redeem. Well, sorry, I wanted to say huge church, you know, in the country where people go to, you know, to worship and to do night vigils. They can start telling them about their health also. And I know they are doing it. Some are doing it, but we can do more.
Excellent. I love to ask you a lot of questions on cancer care. And I know today our opportunity has been shortened because of the power failure and so on and so forth. But I cannot allow you to leave this stage without asking you at least one question. We've got 3 minutes. I want you to tell me, as an accomplished researcher, clinical researcher, what can you do to really encourage the younger ones coming up? You can talk about publication. It's yours to take on. 2 minutes.
So we advance science and medicine through research and publications. So just like we are talking about the care we are getting, I would encourage us to set up the infrastructure to be able to do research. And you know, you have various levels of that. We need to move away from knowledge, attitude, and practice research to hypothesis generating clinical, epidemiological, and investigator-initiated research and studies. We need to start gathering data. Right now, we don't even have data back home to be able to do certain things. So we need to start, you know, in medical school, introducing clinical research, analysis, data gathering, data mining, presentations. And then in postgraduate training, this also needs to be emphasized. And then collaboration with others within and outside the country, because we can teach the world a lot about medicine and the population in Africa and in our country. I think it's a loaded question. There is a lot I can say, but I know we are coming to the top of the hour here. So
You're quite right. I think we have taken a lot of your time. We've really taken time out of your allotted 1 hour, and I would love to bring you back, but you've scraped a lot of things here. There's so many things that we could discuss, and I'm hoping that we have the opportunity again to have you as our guest on Doctor's Round. Today, you've listened to Dr. Onitilo on cancer care, and he has a lot to offer. He was so modest. This is a guy that goes back very frequently to give back, to help train, to deliver service. He's done a lot, and he's very passionate about Nigeria, as we are passionate about Nigeria on Doctors Radio as Spirit of Nigeria. This is the spirit of Nigeria. We want to get things done as we've always done it. Listeners, the doctor now needs to end his round. And hopefully I will not be stopped at Oshodi the next time I come next week, when we'll be discussing something, a very important topic again. On your behalf, I would like to say thank you to Dr. Onitilo and Mr. Arulogun for giving us the platform to educate our people and to contribute to choices that make the difference. Welcome. Goodbye for now.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. A.G. Ahmed. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.